Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
What is up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is a special episode of Dumb Bleep of the Year. This is one of our recap episodes for the voting for Dumb Bleep of the Year. So we're going to be covering each month, and then the winners of each month will go into a quarterly semifinal, and then we'll bring that into the final four. And, of course, the live group, the Fed Haters Club, will be voting on what's going to win Dumb Bleep of the Year. The winner will get a trophy that says that they won Dumb Bleep of the Year, and the person who submitted that specific Dumb Bleep in the live group, or it could be on Twitter, or it could just be me, will get a trophy to put on their mantle at home. So let's get in to Dumb Bleep of the Year. Do you want to double team this one, or how do you want to do? Okay, so from Sarah Jones in New York Magazine. The parental rights movement actively threatens the safety and well-being of children, and by extension, democracy itself.
Jesus! These people.
And this is a real article.
And I am going to say these people. I'm so tired of it.
And you're not going to say who these people are. They can self-identify as people who agree with what this dumb bitch is saying in this article.
Oh, okay? My God. The real threat is you, Sarah, and anyone who thinks like you do.
Okay, let's go through some of this. Children are not property, in New York Magazine. Starts with a quote from the book of Proverbs. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. To certain right-wing Christians, the concept is simple. A child can be broken or stamped into shape, much like any domesticated animal. Though all parents hope they'll pass their values on to their children, for some that hope is more of a mandate. Authoritarianism is gospel to modern conservatives. Nowhere is that clearer than in their assaults on the children. The architects of state bans on gender-affirming care for minors say, falsely, that children are at risk from predatory physicians and activists. A gender cult destroys families, claimed conservative commentator Matt Walsh. The real sin isn't that trans youth will suffer, but that the parental grip might loosen from these tyrannical authoritarian parents.
If you don't turn your children over to us to mutilate their genitals, then that's the crime.
That's the authoritarianism.
Yeah.
And actually, it's the fact that parents want to teach their kids or even control their kids at all. It's this idea that you should even try to control your children that is inherent for the authoritarian right.
Bailey said, are we going to have to start losing our kids in boating accidents along with our firearms?
Maybe.
It's possible to draw a line. Now, she goes on talking for a little bit about some of the recent child labor law bills in certain states. We haven't talked about those at all, but I guess making it possible for younger teens to work at some places. Really haven't looked into it that much. It's possible to draw a line between the push for child labor and the rights attacks on trans children. In each case, conservatives betray a conviction that a child is the property of parents. Because parents own their children, they can dispose of the child as they see fit. They can deny them the evidence-based medical care. They can put a child to work. They can make sure a child is sheltered from the dangers of a serious education. When a child goes hungry, that's because a parent isn't caring for their property. And what a person does with their property is their right.
Jesus.
Like any piece of property, a child has value to conservative activists. They are key to a future the conservatives want to win. Parental rights are merely one path to the total capture of state power and the imposition of authoritarian hierarchy on us all. Now,
well, go ahead.
Are children property for the parents?
No.
I don't think so either. I think it's. I think children are a responsibility for parents, for the person that brings them into the world. It's different from your normal property rights. For instance, you know, I own this mouse. Not a mouse. Calm down, rat lady.
It's not a real
mouse.
It's
a computer mouse. Okay? We're outside of your jurisdiction right now. Okay?
Yeah, I got it for me.
I own this mouse. I don't want to... I own this hat. Okay? This is my property right here. Now, I can choose to wear it, and I can be all kind with it, and you know, I can play with it, and caress it, you know?
Or you set it on
fire. Or I can look at it, and I can see it's a cowboy's hat, and I can take it and rip it up and throw it down on the ground and destroy it.
Set it on fire.
And later I can be like, oh, what happened to my hat? Mm-hmm. Okay? Now that's what I can do with property. When it comes to a person, and whether or not they are your property, even if it is your child, that you... reared, bore onto the world. Okay, it's your responsibility as a parent, but you can't treat them like you would normal property. That is where.
And what Dan makes the distinction here, he says you own the responsibility to raise your children.
Yes, that is your property. That is your intellectual, your moral, you know, that property that you have, that. It is your responsibility to take care of the child. Now, even as libertarians and some people anarchists or whatever, I do think that if a parent is going to harm their children, that someone has the right to come in and protect that child from harm. Okay? And so that's where this whole thing gets really, really fuzzy. Do you want to go on with the state laws passed by conservative Republicans?
Well, I wanted to say real quick that she makes a lot of false statements here, which is they can deny them evidence-based medical care.
Yeah.
The evidence-based, especially for trans care, because that's what she's going to go into here, by the way, is so far-fetched that it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And for
mm-hmm.
them to say, well, look at the research is that they point to is not science at all. It's completely made up, basically. And they're using it as their gospel to say, yeah. If you deny a trans kid their right, or not even if you deny, if you don't affirm the feelings of your child, you're denying them evidence-based care, which is a completely false choice to begin with, yeah. Because there is no evidence-based medical care for mutilating the genitals of a child.
The only evidence base they have are some studies that explicitly followed people who went through transitioning for 12 months during the process of when they started it and after they did it. And they followed people for 12 months, and they showed that the suicidal ideation dropped by, I don't know, like 70% or something like that, I think is the number. During those 12 months when you got what you wanted, what you felt like you wanted, you got affirmed, you got to go through this process. Now, it doesn't follow
for... receiving all the validation.
Yes. It doesn't follow for after that, for later in life when you realize that you can't have any sexual pleasure or that you maybe made a bad decision and you should have just gotten a butterfly tattoo on your foot or something like that, you know. And so, no offense, okay, 21, I think they're great. I love butterflies, yeah. Okay? I just don't like feet. That's why I said that.
Yep. State laws passed by conservative Republicans have made LGBTQ children, in particular, more vulnerable to abuse at home by practically requiring schools to out them to their parents. The denial of gender-affirming care is another act of violence.
Yep.
Far-right activists invent tales of wanton surgeries on minors and irreversible hormonal treatments. Those are not tales, by the way.
Yeah, now they, you know, it's tough to tell exactly what people are doing, but they're not running around, first off, they're not running around like cutting the penises off of a 7-year-old or anything like that, okay? They will do these top surgeries. As everyone's becoming accustomed to now, I guess, these top surgeries on younger teen girls They'll do things like that. And they will do hormone therapy, which interrupts your development, messes up your development, causes problems for the rest of your life afterwards.
It's also being linked to cancer.
Yeah, there's...
And all kinds of things. Yeah. So, in doing so, they obscure the high suicide rate among LGBT youth who need gender-affirming care as a matter of life or death. What about the suicide rate of those who have transitioned later on in life? We don't want to talk about those, do we?
No. Well, that's just because of society in general.
Yeah.
Probably.
In the home and at school, children must also fear gun violence in the name of the Second Amendment. Adults who encourage the proliferation of guns do so knowing well that children will die. In their hierarchy, the adult right to a gun is worth more than the child's right to live. Reduced to the level of a collectible or a beloved pet, the child is not a person to the right.
See why we did the rat video before this one?
Yeah.
You know?
Only the unborn are spared the right's cruelty. Conservatives claim personhood for the fetus who cannot disobey or requires nothing but a womb.
Whereas once a child is born, they're totally fine with crushing up the child and cutting its head off and, like, sending it through a tube. Totally fine with that. Yeah. It's only, like, in the womb that they try to protect the child from that kind of thing.
Yeah, afterwards, you know?
Okay, just making sure.
Afterwards, they're fine with chopping the child up. And,
yeah, no problem.
Not taking care of them or anything.
No problem at all.
That was sarcasm.
But, okay, yeah, sarcasm.
The fetus is more valuable than the child because the fetus is a means to an end, the subjugation of women. The problem is, people like this, I think, really believe this. And I laugh because it's so sad that I don't know what to do about it. Because I'm like, I feel badly for you, honestly.
I am sorry that she feels this way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once born, a child's value depreciates. The parental right to train the child takes precedence over the child's basic rights. There are ways to circumvent a child's established right to an education, as conservatives know. Homeschooling laws are so lax in the U.S. that thousands of children have essentially disappeared into an academic void.
As opposed to the government-run schools that are just doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Even if a child goes to public school, chronic underfunding deprives many children, especially in poor areas, of a sound education. In much of the country, trans youth aren't treated like people with medical needs, but political targets. This is ownership, and the U.S. rarely interferes. There is one exception to the right's belief in absolute parental rule: trans-affirming parents. A defiant parent is a threat to the right. They've stepped out of place and must be subdued. No, ma'am, you have stepped out of place and you must be subdued. I'm no longer participating in this delusion that, like, you know how different men and women are.
I do.
By the way.
Yeah.
It's not, at a chromosomal level, right, it's not just that it's in your DNA and then that leads to women having breasts and a vagina and a uterus and men having testicles and a penis and no breasts. That's not the only things that separate men and women. Did you know almost every single one of your cells in your body is either male or female? Okay. Do you know that a woman's heart is made up of female heart cells that actually suffer from different arrhythmia and things than, than a male's does. And that goes for literally every cell in your body, just about. There are some that aren't that way, but the majority of your cells that have a nucleus, which almost all of them do, are literally male or female. The reality of gender-affirming care is that's all delusional. And we're going to call it what it is. It's It's psychotic.
It's mutilation. It's abuse.
Yeah.
Is what it is. When they talk about this, there is one exception to the right's belief in absolute parental rule, trans-affirming parents. There are other exceptions, by the way, and it would be anyone else who tries to physically harm their child. You know, you're beating the crap out of your child, you stab your child with a knife, you know, you shoot them, do something like that. In fact, even people on the right would believe that those parents should lose the rights to their child, or that they shouldn't be able to harm their child also.
You're an alcoholic or drug addict.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And so, no, it's not the one exception being parents who want to affirm their trans kid. It's actually anyone who is abusive to their children. Okay? All right, next thing.
Follows that up by saying they've stepped out of place and must be subdued, and that's where I was like, no, ma'am, you have stepped out of place.
In this perspective, rights aren't innate. They're determined instead by a person's place in the conservative hierarchy. The opposite view, the correct one, the one that she holds, that everyone has rights by the virtue of their humanity.
Which is true, by the way.
The rights that she decides that you have, by the way, requires us to change the way we commonly think of children. Liberals aren't immune to the belief that children are property. The mainstream fear-mongering over trans youth tells us that much. Yet combating the power of the parental rights movement requires an answering conviction in the rights of children. We can see them as people. Uniquely vulnerable, yes, but nevertheless, people who have independent minds and will develop private lives of their own. Stop trying to control your kids.
And they can when they're 18.
Children are not dogs to train, but adults in formation. They will learn someday soon that the future belongs to them, what they do with that knowledge matters to everyone. Children aren't private property then, but a public responsibility.
A public responsibility.
To expand our democratic project to children is to grant them the security the right seeks to deny them. Education, health care, shelter, food, a better America begins with a child.
And what she's advocating for here is that the right way to approach this in order to change the landscape of America is to indoctrinate and manipulate children to grow up thinking like they do.
Yeah.
And not the other way around.
It's literally just she wants to be able to...
She's saying to expand our democratic project to children.
It's a public responsibility, by the way, Charlie. She's saying we're going to democratically raise your children.
But my thing
too.
Is how long did they talk about, oh, we're not coming for your children? It's not about the children. We're adults. We just want to play dress up.
Just like no one was coming for your guns.
You know? We just want to play dress up. Let adults be adults. Love is love.
That's not where we are right now.
They've been coming for your children the whole time. And it's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, I've tried to be better understanding of, let's say, trans adults. And I've tried to be, I guess, in a libertarian sense, that you're free to do what you want as long as you don't harm people and take their stuff. But this ideology is so corrosive. I feel like I'm leaning more towards taking the Matt Walsh route. because I feel like I'm becoming, I'll say it, righteously angry at people like Sarah Jones, who disgustingly admit that they want to manipulate and indoctrinate your children and mutilate them over your right to protect your children.
This, we've made it to a point in society where somehow we got to a point where people could just openly advocate for what is child abuse. And they get to act like they're on the moral high ground on the subject. And it's not the case. They're wrong. There's something mentally wrong with these people. They are incorrect. I don't care where their feelings are on the matter. What happened to them in their lives that led them to this place, we're not going to capitulate to it because you're literally trying to abuse children. Children do require some control from the parents. You can't just let them do whatever the hell they want to do. They could do all sorts of different bodily harm to themselves. Why not let them drive a car? Why don't we just openly, I mean, might as well let them get tattoos. That's fine. You can, I mean, that's not going to change your life forever. Okay, that's different, but where does this end? No, you end when it comes to physical harm in the child. The child cannot actually make a decision for the rest of their lives. That's why they're kids. That's why we have parents. That's why they live with their parents. Because kids make really dumb decisions. Because they're not thinking about the future like you're supposed to. It's hard enough to get adults to think about the future instead of the now. We're becoming more and more like children the further in time we go right now. You know, that's really what's happening. She's a child. Sarah, whatever the hell her name is basically just an 8-year-old girl making an argument that the parents should be able to tell her what to do. Only she can write decently. She's a better manipulator than Moshe. I've seen some manipulative kids. Okay. They'll do it. There's a 16-second clip going around of the really important part that he says, but I want to get the context because I don't want it to be taken out of context. But it's... it's good. Number 9, Al Sharpton.
Any morning, some of the guys in the neighborhood would say, Rev, I caught a case. I have never walked down that block and somebody said, I caught 3 cases. I mean, this is just as low as it gets. I've never heard of 3 cases on one individual in 3 jurisdictions. So this is serious. But on the other side of it, one day our children's children will read American history. And can you imagine our reading that James Madison or Thomas Jefferson tried to overthrow the government so they could stay in power? That's what we're looking at. We're looking at American history, and how it will play out is going to be very important. The sad part about this to me is that this is...
All right, that's enough of that. So,
but I have no idea what he's talking about.
So when, well,
Trump overthrowing the government? What is he talking about?
The clip that's going around is, can you imagine our kids reading in the history books that James Madison and Thomas Jefferson tried to overthrow the government, which is literally what they did. They did overthrow a government. That's why we know who they are.
Yeah.
All right. That's why he's trending on Twitter right now. And so that's what's currently being discussed. And I think that that's a very important point, not the point that he was making, but it is an important point to know that our country was founded by people who overthrew a government. Like that's how we started. Insurrectionists, actually. So
they seceded.
Yeah.
From the British government.
They destroyed the British government.
Yeah.
You know, by doing that. They're democracy. I don't know. I think that's what we're doing.
Destroyed Parliament's democracy. And
okay.
King's power.
So that's number 9, Al Sharpton. Charlie seemed completely unfazed by that one, and that one's the what was supposed to be the absolute dumbest one.
I just
right
didn't
here
understand what he was trying to get at.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
USA News Update. Tim Berg, Christmas is over, but the pressure is on for retailers dealing with a flood of returns. A new study projects tens of billions of dollars worth of goods will be returned between November and January, a major increase from last year. A large portion of the returns will go to landfills. Last year, there was enough gifts to fill 10,500 Boeing 737 jets. It was a violent holiday weekend in Chicago, Illinois, where at least 19 people were shot across the city. Recent numbers show a drop in homicides and shootings overall, but police say violent crime is still running rampant. The city also seeing a spike in carjackings, which have more than doubled over the past 4 years. Powerball fever continues with Wednesday night's estimated jackpot at $685 million. Tim Berg, USA News.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What is up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is a special episode of Dumb Bleep of the Year. This is one of our recap episodes for the voting for Dumb Bleep of the Year. So we're going to be covering each month, and then the winners of each month will go into a quarterly semifinal, and then we'll bring that into the final four. And of course, the live group, the Fed Haters Club, will be voting on what's going to win Dumb Bleep of the Year. The winner will get a trophy that says that they won Dumb Bleep of the Year, and the person who submitted that specific Dumb Bleep in the live group, or it could be on Twitter, or it could just be me, we'll get a trophy to put on their mantle at home. So let's get in to Dumb Bleep of the Year. And it's going to be called California. And it's going to have two stories from California that people have been talking about this week. Charles, if you want to...
You want me to take the first one?
If you want to do the honors on the first one, then we can do
it. All right. This is from Free Beacon. California bill would redefine infertility to give men access to pregnancy treatments. California lawmakers are advancing a bill that would redefine the inability of men to get pregnant as infertility and entitle them to insurance-covered fertility treatments. Let me read that again in case everyone fell asleep. California lawmakers are advancing a bill that would redefine the inability of men to get pregnant as infertility. And entitle them to insurance-covered fertility treatments.
Question, though. What about a trans man that can get pregnant? Now, is that an oppressor, an oppressive man over the infertile men who can't get pregnant?
I seem to be infertile.
Yeah.
Myself.
Like a trans man comes in, you know, he's got... ovaries.
I think you're asking too many questions.
Okay.
Yeah. It just is.
That was racist.
Yeah.
Okay.
The legislation, which passed the Senate late last month and is about to be taken up by the Assembly, would require employer-sponsored insurance plans to cover all non-experimental fertility treatments, including artificial insemination of pregnancy surrogates. Supporters of the legislation have touted it as an overdue step toward fertility equality for LGBT people.
What about the Qs?
Well, they don't like them anymore, I guess. Freshman State Senator Caroline Minhaba said, quote, it will ensure that queer couples no longer...
Sorry.
They left off the Q.
That's the Q. I'm just driving me nuts right now.
That's because she's going to spell it out here.
Okay.
It will ensure that queer couples no longer have to pay more out of pocket to start families than non-queer families. This bill is critical to achieving full lived equality for LGBTQ plus people. They got everyone there in that time. As well as advancing well-rounded and comprehensive health care for all Californians.
It will ensure,
I know what you're thinking.
It will ensure that queer couples no longer have to pay more out of pocket to start a family than a non-queer family. Meaning, if a guy and a girl are together and they're just...
And they're non-queer.
They're together and they have one drink too many one night and, you know, things happen. Okay? And then... That creates a baby. That should be the same as when two guys, they want to have someone else, you know, use their sperm and impregnate a surrogate and have that person carry a baby. If that costs more, if that situation costs more money,
then it's unfair.
Then a guy and a girl having sex in their bed at home, if that situation costs more, then that's inequality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
You're spot on. The fertility insurance bill would expand the coverage mandate for employers to include IVF and expand the legal definition of infertility to include, quote, a person's inability to reproduce either as an individual or with their partner without medical intervention. Infertility would no longer be defined only as a disease or medical condition, but also as a status, such as being in a gay or lesbian relationship or being single.
Here's infertility. A person's inability to reproduce as an individual or with their partner without medical intervention. So human nature, the nature of Homo sapiens, is wrong, okay? And if two guys can't do their thing and a baby develops, then that's infertility as defined by this law and is a new status. It must be covered by insurance. How do you think insurance is going to react to this? Jeez. State Farm's already pulled out of doing home insurance in California. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Of course, the left blamed it on climate change. Because too many wildfires. Actually, California has laws saying that they can't raise their prices any more than a certain amount to ensure the risk. So maybe that's the reason. Okay, here's another one for you. Let's go. California bill would punish parents who don't affirm their child's gender identity.
Mm.
A newly revised California bill would treat parents' refusal to affirm their child's gender identity as a violation of health, safety, and welfare in the context of custody disputes.
You know, it's all of these things that we've been talking about, and we used to say this all the time, like, it's so good, like, it's such the right thing to do that they have to force people, you know?
Of course. Idea so good they got to be forced, or you got to be threatened that your kid could be taken away. The bill, which already passed the state assembly, would require judges adjudicating such disputes over transgender identifying children to favor a parent. So you're in custody battle right now. Okay. Trans identifying children to favor a parent who affirms their child's gender identity. Earlier this week, the authors released an updated version that specifically denies the health, safety, and welfare of a child to include, defines, sorry, the health, safety, and welfare of a child to include a parent's affirmation of the child's gender identity A change that the bill's opponents worry will open the door to non-affirmation being treated as abuse. And so why would it not? If health, safety, and welfare also include affirming, it's one of those conversations, Charlie, where it's so maddening, it's so insane, it's so off the wall, it's so removed from reality that it's tough to even explain what you feel when you talk about it, because you're talking about children who know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they're talking about ever at all. And if you don't affirm whatever their feelings are on this specific thing, by the way, because they know the main difference between a man and a woman for sure as a 7-year-old child, they definitely know. If you don't affirm that, then that means you could be taken away from one of your parents. I'm going to play this clip. AB 957, California State Assemblymember Wilson explains her reasoning behind considering this bill. Let's hear it.
This particular bill adds the very important factor that affirming a child's gender identity is in their best interest, which is what your question is about. Why does it actually say that in an affirmative way? And it really is because if you have a 7-year-old who's talking about having a potential to say, being able to articulate that they believe that they are not the same gender as they are biologically, then it should be affirmed, and through care, it should be determined. And that's what we did with our own child. And that would give the ability for a parent who wasn't sure to affirm and get their child the care that they need to make that, so they can begin to articulate that determination. But by saying and rejecting it in wholesale, then you're essentially rejecting your child. And that is not in the best interest of a child. We should be affirming our children in every possible way and getting them whatever appropriate care they need, whether it's based on their gender, whether it's based on how their studies are in school. It doesn't matter. Our children should be affirmed. And this is saying that.
Hold on. Whether it's based on their gender or their studies in school. I didn't even hear that part yet. Basically, whatever your kid wants to do, you should affirm it, Charlie. Yeah. I'm not a parent, and so I can't talk on this. But, Charlie, I want to give you some advice. Whatever your kid wants to do, you should affirm it. Don't want to do your homework? Doesn't matter. Okay? You want to take pills to...
It doesn't identify as a homework kid.
Yeah. No, neither. So...
Cookies for breakfast?
My God.
Candy for breakfast? That's right. You want to be a monster truck? Don't worry. I got the shocks on order right now.
Let me tell you, you know the Jordan Peterson...
I can replace his legs with shocks and wheels. You know?
The Jordan Peterson
monster truck affirming surgery.
Original controversy had to do with him refusing to use the pronouns that people were trying to force him to use. Okay.
Well,
he didn't refuse to do it. Get it. He didn't outright refuse to use.
Speaking out against a bill that would compel speech.
Yes. Okay. And I remember I've said this a bunch. My wife was like, "Why is he making such a big deal about it? Why not just do it? Who cares?" This is why. This is the answer to that question. We've also got a friend who comes on the show sometimes. I'm not going to give any names. Who says, "I don't care about this kind of stuff. I don't think it's important." And this is why these things are important. We're talking about a state removing children from their parents because the parent did not agree to block their child's puberty or whatever else the reason may be. I realize that people can move out of the state or whatever, but normally California tends to bleed out into the rest of the United States. The reason that this conversation matters is because this is the logical conclusion of the conversation. If you believe those things, if you believe all pronouns, then this is the logical conclusion. It's either true or it's not. And if it's true, then you're going to have to legally define and protect it with all the ways that the government legally defines and protects everything else that they do. And this is why those little annoying conversations actually do matter.
All right, so King County board member shouts she's glad to support sex offender nominated to homelessness board.
So they have this board of people, and they're trying to figure out what to do about homelessness. All right. They're trying to help marginalized communities.
This is in Seattle, I believe, right?
Yeah, I believe so. They're trying to help these communities, and they nominated this guy to the board. homeless, I believe.
Right.
The homeless guy.
He was, yeah.
And someone takes issue with the fact that this guy is a sex offender. And by the way, not just your run-of-the-mill sex offender. We're talking with minors, by the way. I was looking at that. And someone is like,
also convicted.
Yes.
By the way.
They're like, I don't know about this whole sex offender on the board thing.
He has touched me inappropriately.
And someone gets very upset about this. Of course.
It's the response. It's the response from the co-chair. That's the dumb bleep here.
Can I say something? We have a code of ethics on this board, and Thomas Whitaker Raven Crowfoot is a sex offender, a repeat sex offender, and I have had bad experience with him.
So I'm going to touch you up because we can't disclose people's personal business here, right?
Okay.
And although that's public disclosure, like, we have no right to out anybody in this space.
Okay. I thought thinking
like that's just not okay at all.
Okay.
And I won't stand for that as a co-chair.
We're
not
here
to discover people's backgrounds. And actually, I'm glad that if that is the case, that he's here. Because sex offenders are another population that is most vulnerable that don't have housing.
Okay.
People do things and people do things.
He has touched me. She has touched me. So if there's a meeting where he's at,
Christina, you need to take this to the police then. Christina,
I have.
This is not the forum.
Stop, Christina. Christy, stop. As the co-chair, I'm telling you that you cannot talk like that in this meeting. I will not have that here.
Believe all women.
If anyone wants to talk like that, you will be muted and even removed from this meeting.
Jesus Christ.
Help us.
Just when you think it can't get worse.
So
it does. These people are absolutely delusional.
The response was, if it's true that he is a sex offender, I'm glad that he's here because sex offenders are one of the it had something to do with one of the most vulnerable communities, is what she said. Sex offenders are one of the most vulnerable communities that don't have housing. Yeah, that's it.
God.
And this was actually, you know, I found a little bit better clip than the one that we were watching earlier, but the other one had more stuff in it. She goes on to talk about they were concerned with equity, and that's why it was important for the person to be there.
Yes.
Now, I do have to give the follow-up to this. The person, Colson, that was doing the yelling, that was upset, was asked to resign. I don't know what's happened since then, but originally she is refusing to resign. So the people running the board, people in the government, I guess, or whoever's board it was, said, we're not going to have a multi-time sex offender on the board, especially if he's assaulted one of the other people that's on the board and also children or minors, at least. Like, yeah, we're not going to have him on the board. That's pretty easy to say. So they did come out and say, of course, he's not going to be on the board. And they said that this person's reaction was ridiculous and asked her to resign. So
the dumb bleep is her.
It's her. Colson. This is what you do when you find these victims, Charlie.
Incredibly angry. Also, I don't know if you noticed on the screen or not, but they had LGBTQ2IAS+.
Well, you had a 2SL.
2SL.
Or 2S. Mm-hmm. What, does anyone know what 2S is?
Double sex offender. It's part of the
two-spirit
marginalized group.
Can someone tell me what two-spirit means? What is a two-spirit?
Bipolar?
I don't... Are we... What is that? Two spirit?
That's a gender.
Is it too late, Charlie? Is it just too late? We let this go too far, huh?
I don't know. Part of me thinks that sometimes.
Okay, that was number four, the King County sex offender on the board. These are some responses to the affirmative action decision from yesterday, starting with RFK Jr., who we just heard yesterday is going to be at Freedom Fest. Which we're going to be there as well, and we got to try and grab him. And
you want to grab him? By the what?
No, I don't want to do that. Okay, I want to ask him politely if he wants to come talk to us.
That seems better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure we do that.
In response to affirmative action, he says, regarding the Supreme Court banning affirmative action in higher ed, I know many Americans feel that purely race-based decisions are unfair. However, this feeling misses important context. Race-based decisions are fine in some elements, mm-hmm. you know? The effects of racist policies going back centuries are now self-perpetuating. Affirmative action understands this and uses race-based policies to undo the effects of racist policies. You fight racism with racism, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you fight fire with fire. Same thing.
Yeah. Any libertarians still out there fighting for RFK Jr.? Well, they're definitely doing that. Listen, I saw Clint talking. Clint, we talked with him quite a few times, and he's been big on RFK Jr., and I understand why. I was talking to a friend, John, the other day about how I was considering RFK Jr., just as a big old FU to the administrative state, the bureaucracy, to the alphabet agencies. I get it. I get the idea. But he's not a libertarian. He's still a tyrant. We just happen to like a few things that he says, and there is a big difference between those things. All right, we got to remain principled, and that's why we never said that we were thinking about supporting RFK Jr., because he clearly has the tendency to go this way on several different issues, and you got to be ready for that. You got to assume that's going to happen. Gavin Newsom says that people want to whitewash our nation's history by not having affirmative action, I guess. That's whitewashing our nation's history. They want to bring America back to the era of book bans and segregated campuses. We cannot let them. Of course, that's in response to the affirmative action ruling. The super weird part about that, of course, as people have pointed out, is that affirmative action is banned in California and has been since 1996. So I guess that means they have whitewashed America's history in California. No one knows anything about what's happened in the past in our history in California whatsoever. They're just a big conservative, I don't know, Handmaid's Tale, terrible slave state, really, is what they are. And they've banned all the books. Really down from Gavin Newsom there. And then Erica Marsh, we talked about this yesterday. Folks, it does look like this was a real tweet. She tried to fix it, and it wasn't good. Erica Marsh yesterday said, "Today's Supreme Court decision is a direct attack on black people. No black person will be able to succeed in a merit-based system, which is exactly why affirmative action-based programs were needed. Today's decision is a travesty." It turns out it was a real post because she tried to clarify. She said, "Allow me to clarify. This tweet, which is being manipulated for propaganda and misinformation by Ultra MAGA." "The intention of my tweet is to highlight that prior to affirmative action, there existed a supposedly merit-based system for black individuals to gain admission to colleges. However, these institutions employ racial profiling to prevent black individuals from attending under the guise of this merit system." Well, guess what, Erica? Under this ruling, that would be illegal too. Okay? Because they ruled 14th Amendment does not allow you to consider race in the admissions, meaning if you find that they are racially profiling people and holding them out of schools, which once again is a dumbass idea that these woke colleges where the disgust, the puke of society is oozing out into our streets, that they're just going to start banning black people from going to college automatically.
Yeah.
It's the epicenter of white supremacy, these colleges, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden that's going to happen. It's just not. So she wants to emphasize that her statement in no way suggests that black individuals are less intelligent than people of other races.
That's
other races.
It's exactly what it suggests.
It literally suggests it.
Yeah.
"No black person will be able to succeed in a merit-based system."
I don't remember when I learned how to read, but those words in that order definitely suggest black individuals are less intelligent and they can't work hard or anything else like that.
Well, you must be part of the Ultra MAGA who's manipulating this for propaganda.
I just love people who know how to take accountability.
So good.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, rather than being like, oh, okay, I chose the wrong words, that's not what I meant. Like, let me rephrase that and where my heart actually is.
Mm-hmm.
No, first of all, I'm going to blame everyone else for misinterpreting my words you know, because that's not what I was trying to say. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. I can't anymore.
AOC.
I've reached my breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious.
I don't break.
Well,
don't do it.
I'm at the point.
You're about to break.
Like
that Linkin Park song. You know?
Mm. And I'm about to.
Anyway, AOC says if SCOTUS was serious about their ludicrous colorblindness claims, they would have abolished legacy admissions, a.k.a. affirmative action for the privileged. 70% of Harvard's legacy applicants are white. SCOTUS didn't touch that. That's because no one was suing over Harvard's legacy applicants. Okay, if someone wants to bring that, if someone has standing, if they were harmed, then they can try and bring that to the court.
So what is Harvard's legacy? That's like
people, I think that's when you like your family went your there, family, or yeah. Maybe, I don't know if it's donors, but maybe it's a family thing. Do you know?
All she said was 70% of Harvard's legacy applicants are white.
Yeah, who gets admitted?
Doesn't mean they get in.
Yeah.
They're legacy applicants.
Yeah, so still don't know what the admissions are.
I love how she is saying what she's saying to a black man who wrote the majority opinion. You know?
That doesn't matter.
I mean, last I checked, she's a woman of color, but she's of, you know, Latina descent, or she may clarify. She may identify as Latinx.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Latinx. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I believe they're lower on the totem pole if I got my, you know, oppression totem pole correctly.
Well, I haven't had mine updated yet to the newest version of
although he's
victimhood.
A black man.
Yeah. You know what? Let's get the voting going. We've got this Elizabeth Warren tweet from yesterday also. If you listened yesterday, an extremist Supreme Court has rolled back the march toward racial justice and narrowed opportunity for all. When literally they were not admitting people based on their race. Won't stop fighting for young people with big dreams who deserve an equal chance.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.